fans, and welcome to another edition of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi, and with me as always is my cousin, David Gargolino. David, what is going on?
Good evening, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. A little on the tired side, but that's okay. Had a busy week in Hollywood and here, but, you know, we got to work, don't we? So, but anyways, we've got a new show right now. We're going to talk about the desert trip, especially the Paul portion of the desert trip, and also news that you know, he's got a new song coming out for an animated feature movie. But before that, David, I wanted to just talk with you about for a second about the. About the intro song that you made up for us. Can you give us a little insight on how you did that?
Oh, man, you threw out a surprise topic.
Yeah, I didn't want you to think too much about it. So,
no,
you
know. Yeah, there wasn't much to think about. So the original premise was maybe I was going to get my own instrumental together and kind of have a McCartney-esque kind of sound. Mm-hmm. And then I got lazy and tired and... time was running low. I know we wanted to kick the show off, so I had something in my head. It was a collage of a couple songs, and so I pulled a song from the Liverpool collage, and then I pulled off something from the Twin Peaks album, and I forgot the name. it was a mashup already, but so I think I picked. What's this song called? Free Now. And the beginning, which is like the bass riff to the Beatles song. I'm drawing a blank on this. So basically, I took the bass intro to the song where they kind of create a mashup, and then I pieced it together to the Twin Peaks song.
Okay.
And it fit, or at least I fit it, you know, into the song. And then... I wanted Paul to say three legs or two legs, and because he had said three legs, so I took the legs part, and then I had to find some song where he said two, and I think it might have been two of us.
Okay.
And then try to work my studio magic and how to blend those two.
Gotcha.
And then where he says two legs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of.
And then.
What was that?
Go ahead. No, I said. And then you also added ooh you to it as well, right?
The backing, and but I thought I added the vocal, the two legs, and it sounded very dry, so I added some echo to it.
Okay.
And then I also kind of duplicated the two part where it kind of led up into the legs, and then I try to keep it under like a minute and a half. I think it's a little bit over, kind of a long intro.
Okay.
And it worked for the intro and outro, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was very impressed by it. I thought you did a wonderful job.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, no, thank you. You know, take the time to, you know.
So I don't know if I don't know if it's going to morph, you know, as more episodes go on. But I thought it was a pretty cool intro.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely was cool. Thank you again. Appreciate it.
Oh, anytime.
Yeah, okay. So thank you. Thank you again. That was awesome. So let's get into today's topic, and that's the desert trip shows with Paul. The first one was October 8th. That was a Saturday night, I believe. You know, I was excited about this. I looked at the set list the night before for, you know, Bob Dylan and the Rolling Stones, because I was kind of curious to see, you know, if this was going to be like a full set show or just like a portion or, you know, a smaller portion of their regular show or whatnot. So when I did check the set list Saturday morning, I was kind of disappointed. You know, when I see that, you know, Dylan does, you know, 16 songs and the Rolling Stones only do 20 songs, like, you know, it's kind of like, well, maybe this is just going to be like a toned down, you know, show. However, I mean, people are spending a lot of money, for these, because you when you get the ticket, it's all for all 3 days, correct? Believe. Yeah, so I mean, in that first day, you're only getting 36 songs for, combined, 120 years of music, pretty much, So I mean, I don't know if, fans of Dylan and the Rolling Stones were, exactly happy that day, but,
So those were the two main bands on Friday night?
right. Friday night, yeah, Bob Dylan and the Rolling Stones. So, but that being said, and then so then Saturday comes along and Neil Young comes on. He's opening. Well, I don't know if you can say or co-headlining with Paul. Let's say that. And then he only does 18 songs. So, I'm thinking, well, I don't know, maybe they're just, smaller. Because I've seen Neil Young before too in the 90s, and I think he did probably 25, 26 songs. But then, the next morning I woke up because I didn't want to stay up all night and, constantly highlight or,
Update the
up
page.
updating the page. So, but then when I got up and I saw 37 songs from Paul, it's his full set list, and I was happy about that. I don't know if I was happy at the fact that he did more songs than Dylan and the Stones combined. But I'm kind of the kind of person that gets upset for other people, when I probably shouldn't be because they might not be upset,
You know, the great thing about Paul, I think since his 2002 band kicked this off in the 21st century touring, he's had more songs in the set list than ever. I think in the late 80s and early 90s, I think it was topped out at like 20 something,
28,
28,
28, 30,
which is
just under
still,
30.
which is still nice, but he's approaching 65, 70. He's sitting 35, 36 songs, and then I saw him last year and he hit 41. And which, I saw the Stones in 99, so they were in their mid-50s, and I think they still played like 16, 17 songs, which is really a shame because they have such a big catalog too.
And I just find that myself personally, I find it unacceptable. I go on this rant all the time at work and people just shake their heads at me. Like, what the hell? But I just find that unacceptable for a band to be together that long and only do 20 songs.
Yeah, I don't know what.
I don't care if Mick is up there doing his best Tina Turner impersonation and and that takes, some energy out of him or what, but I don't get it.
Yeah, their
I
ticket
don't.
prices are maybe a little bit more than McCartney in terms of value. I think they went on sale last year for Ford Field in Detroit, and they were all pushing $250 for any seat on the lower level. And I don't know. They kind of rest on their legacy, but and yeah, that's unacceptable, I think, in terms of what you can get. And maybe Paul's the exception. I don't know. I saw
Yeah,
ZZ
because
Top 4 years ago and they played 55 minutes. I'm like, okay.
I mean, I think it's inexcusable for any band that's been together for, even 30 plus years. If you think playing an hour and a half is acceptable, then I mean, I guess McCartney has just been spoiling us for too long, and then, same with, Springsteen, who, will go 3 plus hours, but still, I just agitates me so much.
Yeah, I saw the Stones once. I'm like, nah, I don't have to do it again. It was a good memory. But Paul, I mean, I'll always see him as long as he tours. And the fact that he could still, he's approaching his mid-70s. He's playing more than 30 songs in a set list. He's not in a tour setting anymore where it's like every other day, but
Still. And and I get that, some of his songs might not be, 5 to 7 minute songs like a lot of the Stone songs are. But, still. I mean, he's out there. I got into a little discussion with one of my coworkers, and she's a big Stones fan, and I was just teasing her about the fact that, Stones only did 27 songs, and and she's making the argument that, yeah, but they play the full song and Mick's up there shaking his ass, and I'm like, it doesn't matter. Paul's working just as hard, up there singing his butt off, singing every song. And it doesn't matter if his songs are anywhere from, 2.5 to 7 minutes long with Hey Jude. He's doing every second of those songs, So, but let's get to set list for Paul. I mean, it's basically been, the same set list that he's been doing all year, but with a couple surprises. But before we get into that, when I first saw that, he was gonna do the same day as Neil Young, I was really excited because I have known I knew in the past that they, they did a version of A Day in the Life. And I'm first thing I automatically thought of was is that they're gonna do, A Day in the Life. And I was, very pleased to see that. And one or two other surprises in there as well. But yeah, I mean, it's basically still the same set list. And he had Neil come out for three songs, and it looked like A Day in the Life merged into Give Peace a Chance, but that song after that was I think probably the shocker of the night. Doing Why Don't We Do It in the Road for the very first time in his career. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I haven't heard the audio. I should go back after
Yeah.
the show and listen to it.
Yeah, I played it earlier today, and his voice was pretty strong on it. It sounded like they probably extended it by a minute and a half. Neil did a nice little solo, in between, and probably somewhere in the middle of the song. But yeah, it was really nice. I think they work well together. Anybody that knows that. Paul and Neil have been friends for a long time. Neil inducted Paul into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So, any chance they get, to play together, I think it's something special.
I would love to see a collaboration between the two.
Oh, you know it. Definitely.
They
Definitely.
fit
Definitely.
well, better
Yes.
than who he's been collaborating with lately.
Right.
I just think, whether it's acoustic or electric, they could jam on either one. I think I hopefully we'll see him on maybe the next album.
Right.
Kind of like a
Yeah,
Steve
that's.
Miller a la kind of guest
Yeah, why
appearance.
they haven't done something together is beyond me. But you're right. You're absolutely right. They are. I think they complement each other nicely. And then we get. And then the night before for the Stones, they did a little surprise themselves, and they did a cover of "Come Together," which I didn't listen to. I don't know if you listened to it or
No, I
not.
just read about it.
Right. So I guess Paul, for the first song of the encore, kind of returned the favor, sort of, since he
He
did I Want to
covered a
Be Your
cover of a
Man.
cover.
Yes. Yeah, so he gave or he did I Want to Be Your Man, which was cool, which they thought so highly of that they had Ringo sing it when they decided to do a cover of them. Cover the song themselves. So, but I mean, so I don't really know if you can really consider that a shout out to, the Stones or not, but there it is. But he did do, like I said, 37 songs, and that was two more than what, no, actually, yeah, that was two, or no, one more than what the Stones and Dylan did, the night before. So, I'm sorry I'm bitching about it, but I just still can't get over
No, I
it.
mean, we're emphasizing what McCartney can do in a live
Right.
setting, and he hasn't. You figure maybe hit his 70s, he'll cut it back down to like 25, but no, I think it's some of the longest set lists he's ever had.
Right. And the
And
fact that he is in his mid-70s and he's doing this,
yeah.
and I mean it's really special.
I'm glad that, he hooked up with a younger band at the time 15 years ago. I think Abe's now in his mid 40s, but the other two guys are in their, I think, late 50s.
Gotcha.
But it seems like they love doing it. Doesn't matter where they go. I
Right.
think they have the chemistry, and I'm not going to say that it's the chemistry of the Beatles, but I think
Right.
this is the longest kind of tour band he's ever had. So there
Yeah,
has
I
to be
mean,
some
not
kind of
only.
chemistry.
Right. Well, not only do they have good chemistry, but it looks like they all have a good energy, up there as well. And it looks like they're open to anything. I mean, the set list is very Beatles and Wings heavy. Like I was telling you earlier, I'm glad he did Why Don't We Do It and wrote. I mean, that's great. But why not, bring in a Take It Away or maybe even a Little Luck or something, with a little luck or Ballroom Dancing or No More Lonely Nights. Give yourself a little credit for your solo work as well, especially your 80s stuff. Even Spies Like Us, a fun little song like that. It is what it is. I mean, that's what he feels comfortable doing, and that's what he thinks those fans want to hear, and I accept that. As an answer, I don't know if I accept it, when I go see him live, but what are you gonna do? So.
Yeah, I don't know. This tour isn't on any new album, so it's kind of a throwback to like On the Run stuff. I think the next tour out there had previous, some of his new songs. So I don't know what next year's one-on-one tour would be like if he's going to debut any new stuff. But yeah, I don't know if he's going to go deep back into his catalog. He had, he has so much great stuff. You could change half that set list and it'd
Oh,
still be
easy.
fantastic.
Still be amazing. And I mean, the set list is great. I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, this could be the next the Blu-ray DVD video, live
Oh,
video.
it's been a while.
This is so, and he did sound good, for the songs that I did hear on YouTube. So, but it is what it is. So then, I did notice, I did look at the set list for the Sunday show for Roger Waters and The Who, and it looks like they really did some nice set lists. So Roger Waters did 28 songs, and The Who did 22. So it looks like they really picked it up as well.
You mean the two?
Yeah, the two. I like that. The two Who's. Yeah, so I thought they did a great job. Roger Waters' set list is pretty impressive if you're a an old or mid-range Pink Floyd fan. Definitely a lot of late 60s 70s stuff, so I was really impressed by that. And The Who had a nice set too. I'm happy they're doing Immanence Front. I've always been a fan of that song.
Same here.
So cool. But then I was in Hollywood working the Van Morrison show. And then I just happened to go on my phone for a minute, and I noticed that Paul, or the place where Paul was playing, announced that he's gonna put on a show for about 300 fans. And
You didn't say screw work and head out to
oh well,
the
I wasn't gonna ruin my chance to see Van Morrison. I've seen Paul. This
desert.
was my first time, getting to listen and see Van Morrison, so I was happy to be there. But yeah, definitely, definitely the first thing in your mind is, screw this shit, I quit. But no, but I thought it was pretty cool. But you had saw a little review of it the next day. Was it on the McCartney forum where you saw this?
The McCartney forum or the Steve Hoffman forum, yeah.
Okay.
There
And
was
what,
a lot of people online waiting to get those tickets. I think the tickets went on sale at like 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. I think they said you couldn't line up until after 3 o'clock or something
Yeah,
like
there was
that.
like lines for the official line, and then security let one line go before the other. Yeah, it was just a mess. I mean, I think the whole town tripled in population. It's like a desert town, one of those typical like Western towns. Yeah, and the first 300 people, $50 cash gets you in.
Wow.
So,
Amazing.
yeah.
Yeah, and that was a nice little rocking set list as well. I mean, he still found a way to wiggle in My Valentine. But
But
yeah.
no, maybe I'm amazed though.
Yeah, maybe I'm amazed, but anytime he brings in Junior's Farm, I say that's all right with me. Brilliant song. So let's see here. What were some of the highlights for that show? And what the place was called, what, Pappy's and Harriet's
Yes.
Palace, I take it.
Pappy's, yeah. Pappy and
Yeah.
Harriet's Palace, Pioneer Town, California.
Gotcha. So it was a tw
Highlights. I
yeah,
mean,
22 song set lists. I don't know if there was a time restraint or if this was just more or less a a little warm up for the second Desert Trip show.
I think the highlights for me would be all the Wings songs. You got Junior's Farm, Letting Go, and Hi, Hi,
Yeah, let
Hi.
it
I
go.
mean,
Yeah, definitely.
which kind of has a spirit of a jammy, rocking,
Right. Back in
atmosphere.
the day when they were playing colleges, Wings in Europe, little smaller venues.
This has to be his first small venue since what, the Cavern Club in 99?
Oh, that's a good question. I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've always been a big fan of, I've Got a Feeling. So anytime he does that, it's great. We can work it out. I've Just Seen a Face are great songs. He's still doing Queenie Eye, which I have no problem with. I still think it's a really good song. Yeah, and close with High Dollar Standing there was nice. Hi, 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 great rocker. Wish I was there for that small little venue to hear that. That and Junior's Farm. Amazing. But so that was his little warm up before the second show at the Desert Trip. And so for the second show, it was pretty much more of the same, except for a little change here and there. I noticed that he changed out Can't Buy Me Love for Got to Get You Into My Life, which, is nice. Same stuff, and then all of a sudden you get to song 20, and then out comes a little another special guest to do 4 or 5 seconds. I was shocked to see that he had Rihanna come out to do that song with him. I know you're not a fan of the song, and I can't say that I'm a fan of it either, but yeah, nope. But still, I mean, you gotta appreciate her coming out and doing it, I guess. I think one of the comments was is that they finally found someone under 50 to come out and jam. So but that was pretty cool. And then he had Neil come out again, doing the same three songs, Day in the Life, Give Peace a Chance, and Why Don't We Do It on the Road. And then another highlight during the encore was Rip It Up, Little Richard cover. Thought that was pretty cool as well. Going back to his younger days, where you can definitely tell he was inspired by Little Richard back in the late 50s, early 60s. So yeah, all in all, he's still doing, being for benefit of Mr. Kite, he's still doing something. So this is pretty much his last show for the year, I take it, unless he surprises us with something else. Hopefully he's now just going to concentrate on his new album and see what happens. What did you think about this year's tour?
It started off rough. His voice is pretty, I mean, I thought it degraded a lot, because I saw like his second to last show last year, and then when he came back, what, 6 months later, it took a kind of a tumble, and it's
Right.
recovered, I think. And maybe when he goes that length of time, it needs warming up per
Right.
se. He stuck to a kind of a straight set list this time around,
Yeah, not really a lot of changes.
other than the Desert Trip. He was pretty much the same songs.
Right. He did I think what there was like one or two Canada stops where he did where they did do Mullet Kintyre. Which, you figured, Wicks could do that on his, on his keyboard. So I would just love to hear him do that song at least once
I'm just reading
in my lifetime.
I'm reading Wikipedia. The tour grossed 54.5 million in the first half of the
Oh, wow.
2016 from 20 shows. So I mean, he loves it. It's
Yeah,
profitable.
it's still people are still going to see him live. I think it's probably, it's got to be one of the top three shows out there, every year, as in, song wise and enjoyment wise. I mean,
I mean, the guy's an institution. I mean, had Elvis lived and then toured in his, 60s and 70s, I think you'd see the same thing, the draw.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a big draw. You don't, I wish, Ringo would take a little bit of a more appreciation of his catalog as well. I would just love to see him do a tour with just himself and a band,
Oh yeah.
and not have so many other people singing during.
And the thing is, I think these two guys are very much the same. They both have their doubts about themselves, and Ringo likes the comfort zone of being in a band. But I mean, when you released what, probably 17, 18 solo
Well,
albums.
he's got 18 albums now, and so he's got a wealth of material,
So why,
and
yeah.
whether and whether and he's got plenty of hits as well,
My thing is, why write an album every 2 years and release it? Because he's had a lot of albums since 92, and you're only going to play one song for one part of the tour, and then it kind of just disappears. Why put all the effort if you're not going to actually play three or four cuts from an album?
From an album, right?
You know.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you there. And then we did get some other news this week that's just announcing Paul. Well, I don't know if it was Paul that announced it, but there was a new Paul McCartney song. It's called In the Blink of an Eye, and it's going to be for a new animated movie called Ethel in Earnest. And I believe that's coming out later this month, I want to say. I
Still looks
gotta.
like a cartoon to me.
Yes,
I see it.
thank you, buddy. Yeah, you
I'm
see it?
looking at the picture.
Yeah. Yes, animated feature, David. How's that Pierre McCartney set? Have you been playing it yet since you've got it, or
Know what you're
did
talking about.
you? Oh, right. Still haven't gotten it yet, huh?
No.
No, of course.
I guess I might as well get it, not getting anything else from this guy this year, so.
Oh, geez, yeah, you've pretty much given all hope on Flowers in the Dirt being
It's
re
in the dirt right now. It's yeah.
it's it's coming up, but
Yeah.
not this year.
No good day sunshine for that.
No,
Yeah.
right, very true, very true. But yeah, I mean, I believe this movie's coming out later this year, and I'm sure I don't believe you can.
28th.
Yeah, I don't believe you can hear the song yet. They did say that the song will be played over the credits, so you might have to wait an hour or so watching a cartoon, David, to get the song. That, or you can probably just wait until the next day, and it'll probably, or that night, and it'll probably be on YouTube, So, there you go. But I, a couple good actors doing the voices in that movie. So, other than that, couple great shows from Paul and a new song. So, things are on the up and up. Hopefully, in a month or two, we'll start getting some more info on the new album. I'm sure that dates are being starting to take shape for next year for a tour if he chooses. But I know it does take time to get that kind of thing lined up. So, maybe we'll see some new songs being debuted and maybe some deep cuts of his back catalog debuted
Yeah.
next year, which would be nice. Anything else, David? Anything new? Reading anything? Get any new
No.
music? Any Beatle-related music or anything like that?
No, not really. I saw the Classical History Tour. There's a
Okay.
plug. They
Yeah.
I think a couple members from Beatlemania were are the four guy one of the two of the four guys playing, and they go to around different cities and they play with the current orchestra of that
Okay.
city.
So it's a tour then, pretty
Yeah,
much.
it's a tour, and they basically front whatever orchestra in the town they're touring. So,
Okay.
and it's kind of heavy on Sgt. Pepper. They kind of recognize the 50th is coming up,
Right.
and they play a good handful from Abbey Road.
Oh, cool.
Basically, well, they play Come Together, but they play Something, and then Golden Slumbers, And then they go into, yeah, the end.
Okay, I'll have
Yeah.
to take a look and see if it's coming anywhere out here, out west here by me in Phoenix.
Yeah, I think they got dates lined up for next year.
Okay.
I picked up a cheap ticket in the balcony and it was enjoyable. It was a good night out.
Okay. Very nice. I keep forgetting to mention I've been reading Kid O'Toole's Songs We Were Singing book. It's a guide to lesser known tracks from the Beatles catalog. It also has some songs in in the solo careers of John Paul, George, and Ringo that maybe you should reconsider giving another listen to. So, and that's I'm on 65 year or 1965 right now, and it's been pretty good. I've been pretty impressed. And
What are some of the songs that they highlight?
well, you'll just have to read the book. Well, this. Well, I just read the it was the chapter on Things We Said Today, the song, not the podcast. There's another plug. But yeah, and it was really good. There's some great songs on there that that she talks about. Slow Down, which is a great rocker. Mr. Moonlight of all songs, which she considers a song worth giving a second look. To they talk about some of the some of the early stuff that was on the anthology, the first anthology disc set. So yes, I think it's definitely worth checking out. Actually, I was gonna try to reach out to her and see if I can send it to her to autograph it, if that was possible.
Oh,
So,
very nice.
and then speaking of autographs, I just got my copy of Fab Four FAQ by Robert, or signed by Robert Rodriguez. So that was pretty cool. Looking forward to it. I haven't been able to find this anywhere. I haven't really wanted to go on eBay or anything like that to buy it. So I just went to the source and sent him some money via PayPal and shipped it out to me with a nice little, what did he write? The lyric was "Arrive without traveling," which was,
Nice.
I thought, pretty cool. Yeah. So, but yeah, this I have been looking forward to this, and then when I found out about it, I want to say 3 years ago, I haven't been able to find it anywhere in any of the bookstores. So, looks like a pretty good read. It's everything left to know about the Beatles and more. So, and then he also did a, I think, I don't know if he wrote the follow-up, but there's also another follow-up, but that's for the solo years.
Okay.
So, I'll probably end up picking that one up as well with these never-ending Beatle and Beatle-related books that have been coming out the last 10 years or so.
I feel like there's been more than ever, and there's some really good ones.
I can't wait for the follow-up to A is for Apple part
Yeah.
two. I'm still probably only 100, 120 pages in on that one there. I mean, it's just so much
Oh, I
information.
know. You kind
If you're lucky enough to get it, it's definitely a wealth of information.
Yeah, you can't really sit down in one sitting and read all that. I mean, there's so much
No.
detail.
The pages are the nice glossy color, beautiful stuff. Also looking forward to the next Tune In series, the Mark Lewisohn series, so hopefully we'll get that before I don't think I think we might be lucky enough to get Flowers in the Dirt before.
I might be able to finish volume one before.
You shit, you might even get Pierre McCartney before that comes
I think the CD format might be just obsolete by then.
I hope not. Well, no, I mean it better not be. I mean the way that they're distributors are releasing these mega box sets, as fast as they are. Who knows if
I'm almost thankful for Flowers and Dirt to be delayed. There's a lot of box sets out there I want.
right. So what were you, are you going to pull the trigger on the Pink Floyd set, or are you going to
No, I'm going to do the two CD set for the time being and kind of warm up to that. And then
Gotcha.
just kind of watch over next year on the full box set price. I know they're going to release the individual years, but you won't get the bonus set
Right.
in that.
Cool, and then hopefully I'll be getting to the Philip Norman book, The Life, the Paul McCartney version of his little two-parter. He did The Life with the John Lennon book a few years ago. So looking forward to getting to both of those actually. I don't know when I'll get to it, but I love reading Stephen King as well. So it's like I'm like going back and forth between a Stephen King book and a Beatles related book, back and forth. So, but yeah, having a good time reading all this stuff. Nikki keeps asking me, what are you gonna do with all this knowledge that you get after all
You're gonna write a
this?
book?
Well, I'm gonna write a book and I'm gonna, start a podcast with my cousin and see what happens. But one thing that I really would like to see a book on is, and I don't know if there's anything on it, but it's those, those 30 days in January of 69. You got the bootleg, was it last year?
Yeah,
And there's
beginning of this
just,
year, yeah, end of last year.
right? There's just so much information there, in those 30 days. Just would love to read about it. I know there's some information in the recording sessions, the other Lewison book, but yeah, there's also a lot of meetings that took place, all the Apple recordings, that you're getting that in A is for Apple. I just wonder
You want
how
one
deep,
book, yeah.
just on that month, I'm wondering how in depth they'll get
And
when they get
two
there.
and three, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that yeah, and with TuneIn and with A is for Apple, because it looks like
The next volume should cover.
yeah, should, really. So we'll see, one Paul. I don't. Did you ever get the Man on the Run book?
No.
That's a pretty good Paul book from the seven. From him in the 70s. It's not from this. I mean, the book didn't come out in the 70s.
It's about,
It's about Paul, yeah, Paul in the 70s. So but that was a pretty good read too. So.
Oh, I need more bookshelves.
Yeah, I hear you, buddy. I hear you. So, anything else you want to talk about?
No, I just want to thank everyone who's been tuning in, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we've seen a jump in our numbers of downloads, so someone's listening and
Yeah.
repeating it or sending it to other people to listen. So we appreciate everyone, taking out their time and listening to us just kind of BS back and forth about Paul.
Right. Yeah. This. If you're new and listening to this show, I mean, it's. This show is pretty much an extension of David and I just constantly texting each other about. Beatles and Paul and George and John and Ringo news. It's all we do, pretty much on a daily basis. Did you hear this? Did you see that? And. So. And this is what we love to do. So.
So
But.
we're like the Wayne and Garth of Paul McCartney.
Party on, David.
As I'm in my basement, doing the show.
Yeah. Right. Very cool. So yes, and like David said, thank you very much for taking the time for listening. And yeah, so I think that's gonna do it for this week. And thank you for listening. So that's gonna do it. If you like what you hear, let us know. If you want to reach out to us, you can find us on our Facebook page, Two Legs of Paul McCartney Podcast. You can always email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. And, hey, thank you. So for David and myself, have a great day and a beautiful night.